earlier today if Friday the 13th, because it is Friday the 13th, the day we record, even though y'all are listening to this on Monday morning. If Friday the 13th was a thing before the movies came out, and it was in a sense, it was it's kind of based on Norse mythology, where they believe that 13 was an unlucky number, and Fridays would be tended to be a day of curses where things occurred and they started. So it's not. So it has been around for a long time, but it's not celebrated in the sense now. I think in modern times, the idea of Friday 13th is because of the films and because of pop culture and people celebrate it. But it has something that's been around, but it's mostly the days of Friday and the number 13 are more associated with bad luck going back to early Viking mythology and stuff. So I was curious about that today. I was thinking, like, is this only because of the movies? And definitely the modern times is. And so, you know. Matt, I know you're kind of a Friday the 13th guy. You like this kind of horror stuff, and you know you probably wear all black on. You probably wore all black today and had your hockey mask in tow on your way to work or something. You know,
That's what I did. They were, you know, they didn't accept my attire. You know, apparently it's frowned upon to bring a rusty machete attire to work. Yeah, you know. So, but you know, it's my culture. You know.
Yeah. Yeah, but you know, just kind of interesting facts. I was really thinking about that. I was just curious because they were talking about the radio this morning on the way to work, and I was like, "Has this been a thing for a while?" So I kind of looked it up, and it's
been a thing for
a while. Yeah. So, you know, but this is the Rebel Radio Podcast. This is Mark.
This is Matt.
This is Long. Your signal broke out there, Matt.
Yeah, oh, he sounded really. He sounded like he choked on a penis. So,
yeah.
Okay. Why does it always got to be penises, man?
Because they're phallic in nature, so they just work. Okay. I mean, from my view of my screen,
they just work. On the Zencastr,
your microphone is hanging off your mouth, so it looks like you've got a dick going in your mouth anyway. So.
Yeah.
But yeah.
I know. Yeah. That's what you think about. All right.
Just go with it. How are you fellas this week? How are things?
Good.
Yeah.
I got a new big screen TV. That's why the camera's sitting so high.
Yeah, for people listening on their phones or their iPads or whatever, like I'm looking at Log and it's like one of those movies where his head is, or like the guy in the Mortal Kombat where his head would poke outside the screen and Long is just like barely poking out of the screen.
Whoopsie.
Yeah.
Yeah. It looks like Long's got.
So it's like I see Godzilla posters and all this cool ass shit, and there's this Long's little tiny head right there. And I'm over here, I can just pinch his head.
Because I'm not the main attraction. Well, my Godzilla poster.
Is that what it is?
That is a cool poster.
Yeah. It is.
Yeah.
Quite well, you know, and I've got Hot Wheels and Pearl Jam posters and pop culture stuff behind me, and then Matt just has a plain couch and wall. You're boring, Matt. You don't fit the motif here. So
I don't.
That's all right. Well, not all of us can be cool. Yeah. Nope. Right?
There is a mirror. But yeah. You know, mirrors are cool.
Yeah. I guess. You know, I don't know.
Yeah.
As I get older, I like to look in the mirror less because I'm like, damn, I'm getting old. I don't want to say that.
You're like, shit, I'm old.
I know, right? It's like some days you look and you're like, man, I look pretty good today. My face. Then other days you look like, God, I'm getting bags under my eyes. And,
yeah.
You know, it's like, fuck, man. Oh, well. Yeah, because I'm about 3 months away from another birthday. Motherfucker. Can't time just stop.
Another year, man.
Old as shit. But I'm good too, man. I am. This is a pretty uneventful week. Just work and fighting kind of a bit of a summer cold. And no, it's not COVID. I know my own body. You know, I told Long pre-show you weren't on yet, Matt. I was like, I have the at-home test, but like, what's the point? You know, I think you got to trust your own body. Like, I know if I'm legitimately sick, I can just tell this guy congestion and just kind of like, ugh, you know, that summer cold type stuff. But, and not to downplay testing, but at this point, it's like, if you test positive at home for the home testing, you got to go to the fucking doctor, and it's like, you know, just fight through it.
We're out of that red scare phase, you know?
Exactly. Yeah. But it's all good. All good in the hood. Well, let's get to the show then, because, man, there's a lot. My download this, I think, is going to be quite impressive this week, because I watched some stuff. But download this, nice. Where I tell people what we watched, stream, checked out, and I know we all three saw Doctor Strange and the Multitude of Madness. In the Multiverse of Madness, sorry. And we'll talk about that. We'll talk about that in a minute. But first, we'll talk. Fuck you. But we'll talk about the other things we watched first, because I did watch a couple things this week, so I want to go first. I finally watched A Quiet Place Part 2, and I actually really liked it just as much as the first one. The only thing I didn't like the ending very much, because it's kind of just left open again. I was like, well, that's it. That's probably my only beef with it. And I guess they're going to make a third one. But I really like, we got to see more of the monsters in this one. I like the intensity of it. I tell you what, John Krasinski's, he might, for young directors, you know, we've seen Clint Eastwood and Mel Gibson, go on to be really great movie directors. And man, I think Krasinski's right there. I think he could go on to be a really great film director if he continues to go down that path, because he just does a good job setting up atmosphere and his shots and the intensity. And I'm very impressed with his abilities as a director. And Emily Blunt, of course, she's great in everything she's in. I mean, she sells the intensity in the movie, and it's good stuff. They had a higher budget than the first one, so a lot of special effects are much better. Just a good series, man. I mean, I like them too, because part one and part two are both only like hour and 35 minutes long, so they're not overly long. You can watch them and enjoy them, and they tell a good story. And Cillian Murphy is in the sequel, and he's always does a good job on screen. But I finally sat down. I've been wanting to watch it, so I finally sat down and watched it this past week, and really enjoyed it. And then I went to the movies twice this past weekend, which is rare. I don't think I've done that since before I had kids, going to the movies twice in one weekend. But it just worked out. And I went and saw Everything Everywhere All at Once, a movie I know Long is excited to see. And, man, this is a movie, man. I mean, this is one of those movies where you can walk out of and go, that's why I enjoy cinema. That's why I enjoy film. And it gives you a little hope that there's still filmmakers out there making some really cool original stuff. I mean, don't get me wrong, I enjoy all the Marvel stuff and the sequels and everything, but it's nice to see something refreshing now and then. And Everything Everywhere All at Once is very refreshing. You know, we get the fantastic Michelle Yeoh plays the lead, and I don't want to butcher his name. The guy who plays Short Round and Data returns to the screen, and he's fantastic in it. It's like he hasn't missed a beat with his acting. Jamie Lee Curtis is in it, and she's really good playing. And this movie it might not be for everyone, because it's really kind of quirky and kind of off the wall quite a bit. And you guys know me. I normally don't like that kind of stuff. Y'all know that about me. But this movie does an amazing – the directors, the Daniels, they do an amazing job of letting it get just weird enough, but then they know when to pull it back in. So it never gets so weird that you're like, this is stupid. Does that make sense? You know? They do an amazing job of pulling it back into a grounded reality at times, even though it's a story. And I don't want to spoil anything about the movie, because it's in theaters now. But highly recommend it, man. It might be, as much as I enjoyed the Batman, this might be the best thing I've seen so far in 2022. It's just a really good movie. Definitely highly recommend it if you're on the fence about it, or even if you're waiting until it comes on video on demand. It's worth it to check it out. Just highly entertaining film, not for kids. Even though if you watch the trailers, it seems like it's kind of sold as a action comedy. No, it's definitely an action comedy, but there's some stuff in there that's very adult. Let me just put it this way. There's a scene that involves butt plugs. Okay. So yeah, it's not for children. Just a good movie. If I had one beef with it, the film probably has about four climaxes. Just when you think it's over, you're like, oh, there's more. And so it got a little, maybe just a little dragged out at the end, but the storytelling was so good that I kind of forgave it for the long ending. And when you guys see it, you'll understand what I mean by that. Because there were a couple times where I thought, okay, it's over. Then it kept going. Not quite in the same way Lord of the Rings did. Just that – try to word this without spoiling it. The ideals they were trying to get across and the story they were trying to tell, it felt like they tried to tell it four different ways at the end. And as an audience member, you had gotten the point already. But again, it's so well written that you kind of forgive it. That's why my only small beef with the movie is that maybe the ending was a little bit long-winded. But definitely recommend seeing it. I know both you guys would really like it. I really liked it a lot because I really went into it with not knowing what to expect. I knew it was a Michelle Yeoh movie, and I knew it was people were really enjoying it, and I knew it had kind of crazy ideas about the multiverse and some martial arts in it. But take all that you know, and it's much more than that. And that's all I can say about it. You know, you guys will really like it. And of course, I saw Doctor Strange, but we'll talk about that in a minute.
I saw the trailer for because I hadn't seen anything on Everything Everywhere All at Once, and I didn't even recognize Jamie Lee Curtis in the trailer. Jackie had to point her out to me. I was like,
even when she appears on screen, I'm like, is that Jamie Lee Curtis? Because she looks very different in it.
Yeah.
Well, Justin, and once you hear her talk, you see her mannerisms. Like, it's Jamie Lee. I didn't know she was in the movie either, Matt. Wow. So I saw it. Yeah.
But it's getting a lot of good reviews. A lot of people enjoyed it, and it's getting highly praised.
And shouts out to James Wong, who's fantastic, and as always, you know, he got his Hollywood Walk of Fame star this week, and deservedly so. 91, I think he's 91 years old, still making movies, and he's great in it as always. You know, I always like seeing James Wong on screen, and he steals his scenes he's in because he's just. He's a master at what he does, is being a great character actor all these years.
Yeah.
Sure. That's kind of what
voice work too.
Other than that, I finished the fourth season of Yellowstone, and now I got to wait till the fifth season comes out. Fourth season's not as good as the other three, but it's still good. But there's just some letdowns in it. They tried too many storylines. They got kind of – Tyler Sheridan kind of got caught in that writer's trap where, oh, this works. Let me see what else I can do. And he maybe did a little too much. And hopefully in the fifth season, he kind of brings it back around. So, but that's what I watched this week other than Doctor Strange. Nobody go next so fast.
I finished My Hero Academia. Finally finished season 5.
Wow.
I think season 6 is going to come out later this year.
So you're caught up, basically.
Yeah, I caught up. And I think the manga is also ending this year, so I don't know how many more seasons we'll get of it. I've enjoyed it so far. They're trying to, you know, go through some deeper plot lines with, you know, some of the bad guys' origins. And I like it so far. You know, we'll see what happens with season 6. And other than that, man, I watched Drag Me to Hell, because it's a horror movie I hadn't seen before. And, it's very interesting.
Who's in it?
Oh, it's got Justin Long. Justin Long's in it. The girl.
Well, that's your first problem right there.
Yeah. The girl, she's been in some other movies, but I can't remember the female's name.
You guys know I love Kevin Smith, but stop putting Justin Long in your movies. He cannot act worth a shit.
You know, he's the same guy in every movie.
Yes, he just cannot act at all. But anyway, go ahead.
Yeah, I'm gonna pull up the female actress's name. It's Allison Lohman.
I thought he was pretty different in the Sasquatch gang.
She was in Big Fish. I don't know if you ever saw Where the Truth Lies. She's the one that seduces Harrison Ford in that movie. Or is it Harrison Ford? Or maybe I'm thinking of What Lies Beneath. Yeah, never mind. Wrong movie. But I've seen her. I know her face. But it's a Raimi film, and it was his return to horror after the Spider-Man films. And I wanted to, it had a lot of that Evil Dead element in it, and I wanted to watch something with that in it, and something I hadn't seen. And it was worth watching, but I think maybe with a bigger budget, he could have done a better job with that film. The Evil Dead films are much better. Army of Darkness, Evil Dead 2. But other than that, I think that's it.
It's quiet on my front, so I've been so busy learning my new job still. So I've only had time to play some FF14. That's about it, really.
Yeah. Some raids.
Yeah. Maybe a couple of dungeons here and there.
It's basically a fucking slacker.
Yeah.
You got a lot going on.
I do.
Yeah.
I did get to see Doctor Strange 2, though.
Yes.
I was not going to miss that.
I think we all three saw that. Let's get into the new Doctor Strange.
Still saw it.
The latest in the
Marvel before you did.
Releases.
Yeah. This is slacker now.
Bitch, I saw three movies this week. I ain't slacking. That's a lot for me. And the feature film we did today. So technically, I watched four films this week. Because even though I had seen Transformers a lot, I did go back and rewatch it because I felt like watching it.
Yeah.
So, bitch. yeah. Got me all riled up now. Doctor Strange in the Multiverse.
I didn't watch it.
I know we texted a little bit about the movie.
I even forgot what we were watching.
How's
that?
Shut up! All right? Damn it.
Jealous of my slacking.
Poke at you.
I didn't love Doctor Strange 2. I didn't hate Doctor Strange 2. I loved some ideas in it and some moments in it. But, man, I can't help but feel like this just felt like a homework film for the MCU. That's just my thoughts on it. Like, I had to watch it so I could find out what was going to happen next. I just felt, which is kind of how I felt about Black Widow also. It was like, okay, I felt like I had to watch it. But I did like this better than Black Widow. But I feel like the spectacle that we've had in MCU the last couple of years with Endgame and then Spider-Man No Way Home, this felt to me like it had spectacle in it. Like, we're going to go full spoil territory here, obviously. Like, the Illuminati scene was great, but also kind of pointless. If you really think about it, it's like they introduce these characters that appear in this other universe, and then they're all dead within minutes. So it's kind of like, just to show how powerful Wanda was. And that was my thing about this film. And I know you guys liked it more than me. And I can appreciate Sam Raimi's direction and all that. I'm fine with that. I didn't think the film was that scary. I saw some parent groups complain that this movie should have been rated R. I took Waverly and Wyatt to it. They were fine. I didn't think it was that scary. I've seen worse on fucking Goosebumps, you know? Let's just be honest.
Well, compared to other Marvel films, I think it was like, wow, Marvel's making people's heads explode with
that might be the only scene. That's it. That scene might be the only scene. But I felt overall it wasn't anything that terrible. People need to stop being pussies. It just felt like to me a 2-hour story to kind of introduce the multiverse. They introduce this new character of American Chavez that can open up portals and essentially make us think does anyone really think Wanda's dead? I mean, come on. You know? Not only that, we know Elizabeth Olsen apparently still has 3 more films under her contract. So they kind of give it away with all that, you know? I wanted more. I don't know why. I felt like I got to the end of it. I'm like, that's it? You know? How far forward did we move the story? And then they're going to a Thor movie, which obviously is probably going to have nothing to do with this. And now we have to wait longer to see what happens to Wanda and what happens to Strange and whether Spider-Man's going to get his memories back longer. I don't know. I guess I was looking for more answers to the film at some point. I don't know what I was looking for, but I just felt like it was kind of a going through the motions kind of movie for Marvel to get to where they wanted to be next. But I still enjoyed it quite a bit. Great special effects. My first thought when I was watching this, the first 25 minutes of the movie was almost as big of a set piece as some of the climaxes of some of these films. I was like, man, there's a lot of money spent in the first 25 minutes of this movie. And I can appreciate that.
Yeah,
I can appreciate that Marvel and Disney are spending a lot of fucking money to make these movies look absolutely fantastic. And that's cool. Because, I mean, how many movies have we seen where, you know, they cringe on the budgets for the first hour and a half and they spend all the money the last half hour, you know? So props off to Marvel and Disney for making these things absolutely spectacular on the big screen. That's my initial thoughts on it. Like, I didn't hate it, didn't love it. Kind of felt like, yeah, that's cool. You know, that's just my thoughts.
I feel pity for you, Mark. Must be tough watching movies blind.
But I also saw a fantastic movie the night before, and that might have had something to do with it.
Oh,
I mean, sometimes it's hard to,
It's just, it's like, you know how Lord of the Rings, I was disappointed that Gandalf was a wizard, all-powerful wizard, and all he could do is, like, shoot a beam of light and talk really loud, and that's about it. It's like, whoa, big magic user there, you know, because they want to keep things grounded, and they don't want fantasy to be too fantasy-ish, and that's what I love about the Doctor Strange films. It's like they go full bore magic powers, magic spells. It's like we don't care if it's not grounded in reality. You know, I just like how over the top it is. I just love how much freedom it gives the animators. It's like, oh, yeah, we're going to go full bore with the magic effects. You know, it's like good.
They're like, we're going to take the score and turn it into a weapon. That's how bold they went. They're like, we don't care.
I was not expecting that. But yeah,
I hope you like this bass clef in your mouth.
It was boom. To me that line is kind of pushing it. It was walking that really tight rope of going really cheesy
with the sound
effects there. But anyways, my reaction as far as character moments and man, I didn't think WandaVision, it sets up her being the Scarlet Witch, and it kind of left that unresolved feeling of, you know, she did manipulate an entire town against her own free will,
yeah,
and she just walks away from it without any consequences. Basically, the only thing that she gained from it was the fact that she became even more powerful, and this movie really pretty much answers that. It's like, okay, so Wanda is in the apple orchard, and all of a sudden everything's dead. It's like, okay, she's threatening Doctor Strange. I don't think they'll really go over that. I don't think they'll cross that line. And then she starts killing people. It's like, okay, she crossed the line. It's like, we're going there. She's gone full on evil. You know, we're seeing, to me, it's kind of a big deal because this is the first time actually that in a Marvel film that we've seen a superhero turn villainous, you know, and
because of the book
over a course of several movies. And I was like, oh man, that's really cool. You know, it's kind of like in Star Wars, you know, we watch Anakin become Darth Vader.
Yeah.
Right. And like, okay, well, let's see how far Disney or Marvel will go. Will they keep her as Darth Vader, you know, full bore? But she was the freaking Terminator in this film. It's just like, she was unstoppable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I felt like she was a mix between the Terminator and Carrie.
Yeah. No, well, Carrie wasn't a slasher though. It was more like the Terminator and freaking Jason or
yeah.
Yeah. Because it's like that classic horror movie trope, right?
Yeah.
The sheriff is like, oh yeah, we'll take care of your scary guy. We'll take care of him. And then he's the first person to get killed, right? The Illuminati does that classic horror trope. We'll take care of your little girl. It's like,
what's a strange noise out here?
Well, and I knew, yeah. I knew they're the first people to die.
Well, and that's the thing. One thing I did like about this movie is sometimes with these solo films, the threat seems really huge, and you think to yourself, where's the other Avengers or whatever, right? We've talked about that before.
Yeah.
But I did like the fact that this movie didn't address that directly, but Doctor Strange the entire time had a plan, and he didn't feel he needed help because he figured his plan would work. Because I like that fact that he was able to take this threat on himself with his plan, and it worked. Because sometimes you wonder, like, why don't they call for some help? But Doctor Strange legitimately didn't need it because he kind of knew what he had to do. Like you said, by using the magic and the thing and the knowledge that he had. So I thought that was kind of cool. The character of American Chavez was – I'm not real familiar with her. I'm thinking she's more modern comics.
She's only 11 years old in the comics.
And I thought the actress did fine for what she had to work with. You know, she was cool.
She was a better actor than Cassandra Cain.
Yeah, she was cool.
Harley Quinn movie.
Mm. Yeah.
But it was cool seeing Wanda kind of go off. And like I said, I think down the road she'll have to face the consequences of what she did. Because, I mean, do you guys really think she's dead? I mean, let's be honest. Probably not.
I'm hoping that she's not.
Follow the money, Mark, like you always say. You know, she's got contracts left. She's not done. Maybe we get the multiverse version of her that, you know, she moonwalked into. That's probably my favorite part, the moonwalking aspect. And you've got Doctor Strange possessing a dead body of himself.
That was cool.
And clinging on to demons. I mean, this is like the perfect Raimi movie to develop for him to direct. It's an evil book. It's got possession spells in it, demon possession spells, resurrection spells. It's fucking Evil Dead. You know, just all Evil Dead 4, like all these memes out there.
I am.
But I like where they went with it. I like the, you know, that scene. And the demons, very Raimi-ish. They're talking smack. They're giggling. I think it was done very fun. And that's probably what I took away the most of. It was fun.
Like I said, I didn't hate it. I just didn't quite enjoy it as much. I don't want to say I didn't quite enjoy as much as y'all do. I didn't think it was as great as y'all did. But I still liked it. You know, I think it might be 11th or 12th on my list, you know, of Marvel films, because I sent y'all out a quick top 10 I could think of. Yeah. I did like the Illuminati scene a lot. I thought that was cool. Just introducing, we mentioned John Krasinski earlier. He shows up in there as Mr. Fantastic. So now it's like when they make the Fantastic Four movie, that's pretty much confirming he's going to play Mr. Fantastic, right? I mean,
oh, yeah.
I would think, which is what everybody wanted anyway. And we all know that Monica's going to be eventually probably take on a persona of Captain Marvel in some form. So they alluded to that. And it was always great to see Patrick Stewart back as Professor X. And it was cool to see.
He died.
Yeah.
Poor guy. He died pretty bad. Mr. Fantastic was a pretty bad death.
All of them. And Anson Mount, to bring him back for the Inhumans show.
Yeah.
I listened to a podcast once where Anson Mount talked about playing Black Bolt and how proud he was. So it was a shame that the show wasn't successful. So I'm glad they brought him back, and hopefully he'll come back eventually to play Black Bolt again.
Reminded me of The Matrix.
Anson Mount sounds like a pretty cool guy, though.
Oh, yeah, dude. You listen to his podcast and stuff, he just seems like one of those guys you can just sit down and hang out with. He's really just down to earth. And it seems like a really nice guy. I want to watch his new Star Trek show. I just haven't had a chance to sit down and watch it yet. And then, of course, Haley Atwell coming back and playing Captain Carter, you know, which we were introduced to in the What If show. And that was pretty neat to see her on screen. I love that whole scene. The whole Illuminati scene was pretty fucking awesome. You know, so that was good stuff.
She can do this all day.
Yeah, a little throwback to Captain America.
Yeah.
But I really think my most excited me of that was just seeing Mr. Fantastic on screen, and looked really cool. And I liked Doctor Strange's little quip. It's like, what kind of name is that? Fantastic Four? He made some comment towards it.
Didn't y'all peak in the 60s?
Yeah. So that was good. But other than that, man, it's fun. I mean, I'm down for all these Marvel films, obviously, and I know sometimes my excitement's reserved for them, and I'm not as as pumped by them, but I'm still going to watch every one of these motherfuckers because, man, I want to see what happens, you know? That's just it. And they've been on a roll lately. Other than Black Widow, I think they've been on quite a roll now for a couple years with some of these films have been really good. Obviously, Infinity War and Endgame and Spider-Man. You know, I know Far From Home wasn't as well received, but I think even Far From Home plays way better now that we've had No Way Home. You know, I think you go back and watch it. And I think it was on the other day, and when the kids were watching it, and I noticed that it just plays better now with the whole trilogy complete. So,
and speaking of the Spider-Man films, yeah, I talked to my brother. He finally saw Far From Home and No Way Home, and he was of the same mindset as me. He did not like the second movie at all. But he loved the No Way Home a lot better. It was like five times better.
He didn't like Night Monkey?
No, he didn't like it at all. No, he felt like it felt like the movie wasn't directed towards his demographic. It was felt definitely more like a for teens or something like that than for general audiences.
I don't know. I like him. I mean, I think
Have you rewatched it?
Yeah. Man, I liked it. I mean, because I feel like as much as I like Spider-Man 2, because I really think that's a great film, I think I like the MCU trilogy better than the 2000s trilogy overall. I think it just I think it gives me more of the Spider-Man that I wanted from the comic books and stuff, you know. Because there's a lot of things I would have done different in the Raimi trilogy than now that I look back on it, you know. Other than Spider-Man 2. I think Spider-Man 2 is pretty perfect, but there's even stuff in the first one. Like, I never really liked the whole Green Goblin talking to himself thing. I hate the costume. I've never liked the Green Goblin costume. It feels like it's part of the night. It feels like it's out of the 90s. It doesn't feel modern enough for me. There's things I would have changed. And I think the MCU trilogy gets a lot more Spider-Man right than the Raimi trilogy did overall. But I enjoy the Raimi trilogy too for what it was, you know, at its time. I don't even hate on part three as much as most people, other than the last maybe 40 minutes. and, you know, and Raimi has talked about that before in interviews. He goes, I was just trying to get the film done. Because, I mean, there's a really pretty solid film for about the first hour and 15 minutes. And that last 45 minutes, just like, what? So, yeah. Because the studio forced him to use Venom. So
he's like, all right, I'm going to cast Topher Grace. Yeah. Have fun. Good luck.
And the biggest thing I've always hated about that film is I don't like it when actors hear music and the audience hears it and then they're dancing in the streets. And like, if it's a musical, that's fine. But I hate the dance scene.
Whoa, Mo Mark.
It's terrible.
Calm down. I loved it. Me too. I practiced those moves.
It makes no sense in the movie. It makes absolutely no sense.
That's why I love it.
Finger guns. Oh.
Well, you'll never see that in a modern film anymore.
That's right, baby.
Anyway, let's get into today's featured film then. A movie that this is one of those movies that I love movies like this, like the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles movies or Transformers or the Jurassic Park movies, where people will say things like, this shouldn't have happened, this movie, or it doesn't make sense. I'm like, do you realize you're watching a movie about dinosaurs that don't exist, about turtles that don't exist, or in this case, giant fucking robots from another planet that don't exist? What rules are there, right? It's a movie. Enjoy it. And that is 2007's Transformers, directed by Michael Bay. And I'm picking you, Long, to summarize.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Okay. I didn't watch it. Okay, fine.
You've seen it, though.
Yeah, I've seen it.
shit. You're a Transformers guy, so I know you've seen it.
Archibald Whitwicky.
Fine, Matt, you summarize it.
Yep. Okay.
No, Taye Diggs is not in this movie.
It's Transformers, baby, but played through the eyes of a boy because they thought it would be fun to do this boy coming into a man. And so Sam Witwicky, his great-grandfather, discovered the AllSpark in the Arctic shelf, and the coordinates to that AllSpark were sent by Megatron inadvertently, and so these glasses are being sought after so that the Allspark can be found. So the Autobots and the Decepticons come to Earth, and they're fighting over getting to Sam so that they can find this thing, this creation of all life, and it's classic battle between Autobots and Decepticons again, reliving their civil war. And, instead of the original movie, we where, it's played through a lot of the perspective of the Autobots. It's played through the perspective of Sam Witwicky and Megan Fox. And, kind of like this, the boy with his car theme. I really like that. And, trying to become, coming of age kind of. And he befriends the Autobots and. They defend against Megatron at the end, and it's just, a really cool introductory film. Made a ton of money, $750 million? Badass. Massive. I remember walking out. Yeah, and that's essentially it. I mean, it's straightforward. This was to introduce the Autobots and the Decepticons. I mean, you do have the military is trying to find out the signal that was sent. They're trying to interpret that, and you do have. A storyline there, but ultimately it's Decepticons and Autobots trying to get to this Allspark, and the government has it, and they're keeping it in the Hoover Dam. Isn't that the Hoover Dam? I think it is, they do keep it underneath there. Yeah. And government's been hiding them for years. And I like how they work that in to bring the Autobots to Earth instead of Cybertron. I remember seeing this film and just being visually impacted by it, thinking like, looking at vehicles and I'm like, man, is one going to change into a fucking Autobot or something? And it made me look at vehicles, skeptically for like another 30 minutes, after the film. I enjoyed it, man. I saw this while I was in theaters and, tons of fun. To say the least.
Yeah.
Put a lot of work into those Autobots and Decepticons.
Well, this movie, when it came out, was controversial amongst fans who didn't like the changes made to the robots and things like that. But if you go read, and people were accusing Michael Bay of ruining their childhood, blah, blah, blah. Man, but if you go back and read about this film and read why Michael Bay made the choices he made, they all make a lot of sense. He goes, guys, these things were designed in the 80s. They don't translate to screen properly, especially at that time. And he wanted to try to make it for modern audiences. And it makes sense why he made Optimus a bigger truck or he made Bumblebee a Camaro, because it fit better. And I know they made the Bumblebee film that shows that Generation 1 designs can work. But I get what Michael Bay was trying to do at the time he made this. And people accuse him of not understanding the property. No, Michael Bay understood the property, understood what he was doing. And so what if he pissed off a few people along the way? Because this movie is still highly entertaining. Rewatching it this week, I'm okay with the comedy in it because I think it gives it kind of a lighthearted feel. Remember, you're watching a movie made about toys and stuff. It doesn't take itself too seriously. I think Shia is fine in the film, and so is Megan Fox. I mean, she's always fine, but she holds her own in this movie. And she was very young when she made this. Her and Shia were both about 20 years old, and they do a good job. And I was reading some stuff too with Megan Fox was very tomboyish. People don't know that about her. She's kind of a nerd. She was into Transformers and she knew characters' names and all that stuff. So she was kind of a fangirl doing this movie. And I think that's kind of cool. A little bit of respect to her for that, because I know she takes a lot of flack over the years for her acting abilities and stuff. And people think she's just a pretty face, but she does her job when she's on screen and she does a good job in this movie. She even bucked up a little bit and got some muscle because she wanted to, show that she could be tough with all the boys and stuff. So I think that's cool that she did work on the film. So I think overall this movie does a good job of delivering a really good first look at the live action Transformers. There's a lot of spectacle in this. I think the first hour of the film plays out really well, where like all this lead into the Autobots appearing. And when they first appear on screen, I remember seeing this in theaters in 2007. And that first time that Optimus Prime appears and you hear Peter Cullen's voice, I mean, that was goosebumps. It was awesome. And even now watching it, 15 years later, I think it still holds up really well. I think that Michael Bay made a film that I think can be looked at by Transformers fans for many years to come and really enjoy this movie. I still think it's the best amongst the live action films. I enjoyed Dark of the Moon quite a bit. Some of the other ones were kind of eh, but this one is definitely the best of them. I enjoy Bumblebee a lot, but I rewatching this week, I still think I like this one a little bit better, just because of all the first time seeing things. Amazing special effects. I mean, that holds up really well. I mean, Industrial Light and Magic, just incredible with the work they did. And you know, they filmed. I was reading they filmed a lot of this stuff practically. In a city where they filmed Shia and Megan and them running and things like that. Then the animators went in later and CGI'd the robots and stuff. Like they had some green screens and spot things up to show the actors where the characters would be. But this movie is not as much of a green screen movie as I thought it was. They filmed a lot of this on practical sets because they wanted to look as real as they could and they animate the robots in.
Yeah, they'd take hundreds of pictures of the background and try and put them into the reflections of the Transformers and Decepticons to try and make it look even that much more realistic. A lot of work. When do you remember watching this?
Yeah, you're a long time Transformer theaters.
Why is everyone going to keep interrupting me? I try to do the summary. I get interrupted. I can't even say anything anymore.
Yeah. As soon as you talk.
You have the floor, Long.
It's yours, man. The mic is yours.
It was fun. That's all I have to say.
A man of few words, but we always listen to them.
I guess so.
I liked it.
So,
it was great.
As a long time Transformer fan, you were okay with the changes in this film and things they did?
Man, I thought, okay, let me answer your question from earlier, what I thought of the film or when I first saw it. I saw this film when it came out on release weekend, and I was blown away by it, the first 20 minutes of it. And I was going to make a comment about how the film, you guys are saying how the first half of the film was really good. In general, it is really good because freaking Steven Spielberg was watching over everything, like the overlord that he is, you know, so that's why the story felt tight compared to the other sequels. It left a really good first impression, especially in the desert scene. The desert scenes were just mind blowing. The Scorponok attack, and then the attack on the army base, and was it in Iraq? I don't remember.
Yeah.
That was a really cool scene. It was like the imposing shadow silhouette of a Decepticon just barreling down on the army base and the troops and stuff. And Michael Bay does really good with the practical effects. So I mean, it does feel pretty real in that sense. And it brought a smile to my face when I heard Peter Cullen talk. I was like, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I still don't like the robot designs, honestly. I just felt it was just not as elegant as the original Japanese designs.
Yeah, makes sense.
They didn't look like Gundam in a way, you know? Because the Gundam robot designs look similar to that, too, you know? But it was a great film. I really love the highway chase scene. It's always rewatchable. And them being robots, you could tell that Michael Bay took advantage of them being robots. He could go as gory as he wanted. With their deaths. So.
Starscream was that one robot apart completely.
Jazz, yeah.
Yeah.
He ripped Jazz in half. That was pretty sad. He was actually one of my favorite Autobots.
One thing I think that, you know, people you know, Michael Bay's taken a lot of flack over the years, but man, we talked about this when we did The Rock. Man, I think Michael Bay shoots action really well, honestly. I like his action scenes. You know, he likes to use some slow motion and lots of explosions, but for the most part, I think he shoots action well enough where you can tell what's going on. He knows when to pull the camera back and when to get close. And I like the scale of this film. I think it's really great where Sam is running through the streets with AllSpark and Bay shoots it with a camera almost below him where you see all the robots fighting above him. And it gives a really good sense of scale. And I remember seeing it in theaters and was really blown away by that. I think it's fantastic. And Bay continues that throughout all three of the films he did. Three or four, I can't remember how many he made. I don't think he made that last one. Did he make The Last Night? Maybe he made all five of them. I don't know. But
he did.
Did he? Yeah. And that is one thing that he does very well. I think Bay shoots fantastic action scenes and I don't think he ruined anyone's childhood with this movie. Yeah, it's okay to not like the robot designs. I'm the same way. I'm not a huge fan of them, but I accepted them. You know, okay, this is the version we're getting live action wise, and okay, fine. But yeah, I would much prefer to see the ones I grew up watching, but you know, maybe eventually we got a little taste of
them. They brought the inspired designs of the original cartoons and Bumblebee.
Yeah, exactly. So overall, I think Bay made a extremely entertaining first live action Transformers film that, and it does, it may not deliver on the robot designs and maybe change the story of Cybertron and the arc coming to Earth a little bit different, but it delivers on a lot of other great Transformers moments. It delivers on Optimus Prime, just hearing Peter Cullen's voice or Megatron and Starscream being as sinister as they are. You know, so it does a lot of other great and just seeing these things transform on screen. I'm with you. I love the Scorponok scene where he comes out of the desert. It's freaking badass, you know? So it delivers a lot of other cool moments that are just worthy of being Transformers. Huh, Matt?
Yeah. That highway fight scene with Optimus and Bone Crusher.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. When he transforms mid-driving and hits it, it's badass, you know?
Reminds me of Terminator 2 whenever two robots are going at each other.
Yeah. And one thing, too, I'm going to give Michael Bay credit for the storytelling this, that we've talked about this with the modern Godzilla films. It's like, why are the humans there? They don't seem to do anything except cause more problems. Where Michael Bay, I think he uses the human story pretty well balanced in this, a little bit more so than the Godzilla films. And it makes sense, the introduction of Sector 7 and the fact that Sam is the great-grandfather of Archibald who discovered the Transformers. I think it all – and it plays well. And I have a whole new respect for John Turturro now after watching him in The Batman and then going back and watching this and just kind of realizing – I remember seeing Transformers before and thought, man, his character's kind of annoying. But I look at it differently now. I see the genius in what Turturro does with the kind of the crazy Section 7 agent. It's great. You know, I'm watching it this week. I'm like, I enjoyed it more than originally. I always found his character annoying. Now, all of a sudden, I don't find him annoying. I'm like, you're a criminal. Criminals are hot. It's like, I just laugh at that. It's kind of creepy, but kind of funny. You know, and John Turturro's just fantastic. John, the always great John Voight, seeing him on screen, you know, in this playing was he the presidential aide or something? And he's good. Glenn Morshower, who was at Compluza back several years ago, and I talked to him for a little bit. You know, he's always plays that military guy in all of these movies, and just gotta give him props because he's a Texas boy, you know. Of course, Tyrese Gibson, paid to be, he wanted to be in this movie so bad he wanted to pay the producers. He didn't want to even get paid for it. He's like, man, I just want to be in a Transformers movie. So I think that's pretty cool.
I don't blame him.
Spielberg being a big fan was on set a lot and he wanted to make sure things were, done right for Transformers fans. Spielberg came really close to directing it, but ended up just producing it instead. That's an interesting thought. What would a Steven Zemeckis, Spielberg Transformers film have looked like? Huh?
Zemeckis was going to do it after Polar Express, and he ended up doing Beowulf.
Robert Zemeckis?
Yeah, Robert Zemeckis.
Yeah. There were a few directors I remember being thrown around for this, Spielberg and Zemeckis, and There might have even been one more in there back in the day. But I mean, you know, Bay did a good job for his film. But you know, I enjoyed, you know, this Transformers movie. You know, the sequels are what they are, you know. Except that last one. The last night was pretty bad. I was watching it, and I literally about halfway through I got lost. I wasn't sure what was going on in that movie. That one was kind of really a mess. But they can all be. The first Mark Wahlberg one was okay. Age of Extinction. I mean, it was a little long, but I thought it was cool seeing like the Dinobots and stuff like that. It just it was almost 3 damn hours, so it's just kind of a long movie.
I think Dark of the Moon's pretty underrated.
Yeah, I like Dark of the Moon. I like it, man. I do like that one. It's cool because it has Leonard Nimoy as a voice in there. That's pretty cool. I love the ending scene where Optimus Prime has his arm cut off, but he's like, no arm, no problem. And he just picks up the gun and shoots Sentinel Prime. I'm like, that's badass. You know?
Sentinel Prime was voiced by the original Megatron in that movie, correct?
No, Sentinel Prime, I think, was Leonard Nimoy. But you're right. I think Frank Welker came back and did Megatron in that movie. Or does he turn? No, he turns into Galvatron in one of the other ones or something.
Maybe that was it. Maybe.
Yeah. But Frank Welker does come back. Welker was going to voice Megatron this one, but one, he had a scheduling conflict, and two, Bay felt that he wanted a deeper, more menacing voice for the alien look of Megatron. So that's why they went with Hugo Weaving. But Welker did come back eventually. Yeah, I like that sequence in Dark of the Moon where the building is falling and they're all going down the building. There's some really great action sequences in that one. So that was a good movie. I like that one. But yeah, I don't think Michael Bay ruined anyone's childhood with these movies. You just take them for what they are. They're movies about giant robots from alien planets, people. Don't take them too seriously. You know, just enjoy them. I mean, there's movies that you go to the movies for and you take seriously. You expect a certain thing from it. But then there's movies you just go. These are popcorn flicks. You go to them to enjoy the movies. And it's okay to be a little critical of them at times, but it's also okay to admit that you like them. And I like the Transformers movies. I think it's cool to see them on the big screen. And I'm holding out hope that one day we get a Generation 1 style live action movie. But we are getting another animated Transformers film, I think, comes out next year. So that's going to be apparently on the big screen. So, but yeah.
They almost tried to use an updated version of The Touch with this movie. I guess they didn't like the final product. So they brought in Zack Snyder's protege, same guy from who helped on The Island with the score, and came up with a good score for this film. But that would have been cool to get an updated version of The Touch, like a more metal version or a more harder rock version, I guess.
No. You know. Yeah. No. Well, it was in the Bumblebee movie where they play The Touch. That's right, when she's in the car. Yeah. So, I knew it was using one of the films. But I don't know. I'm probably a little kinder to this movie than some people. I think I'd give it a pretty solid A. I think it's a good action film, good introduction to Transformers. And people like it. It's a 7.0 on IMDb. So generally, it gets people like this movie and give it good reviews.
Oh, yeah. Can't deny it's It's a fun blockbuster flick, that's for sure.
Yeah,
I'd give it an A.
Yeah, A.
AAA. It was the movie of the year in 2007, summer movie of the year.
I didn't realize that it made $152 million opening weekend, and it's still the record holder for opening weekend for a non-sequel or franchise film. So, because it was the first movie in its franchise. That's hard to believe with all these Marvel movies that have come out and stuff, and none of them have made more than $152 million. Some of their sequels have, but not the first of the franchise. So,
yeah.
Interesting fact. So, all right. Well, I guess it's time for Tool of the Nerds. the much maligned segment we introduced at the beginning of the year that's on a short lifespan to go here as we get closer to episode 300.
Didn't last as long as top five, that's for sure.
No. I mean, I'll just this week and next week, that's it. And it's over. And because we're not going to do it in the 300th episode. Because I've got a lot of cool stuff I'm working on for the 300th episode. And that you guys don't know about yet, but y'all will. I'm going to give y'all the outline. I've got some cool ideas to make it really celebrate our 300th episode here in a couple of weeks. And if things work well, our former co-host Frank will be joining us for that show. We're bringing him back for the 300th episode, so that'll be cool. But let's get the last of the final two Duel of the Nerds out of the way. Long, you're the host this week, so you get to introduce it.
Yes, it's kind of last minute, but I
you don't say.
Yeah, I know, but again, whatever. it was inspired by Doctor Strange, and I wanted to. The topic was Doctor Strange versus Doctor Fate, and Doctor Fate from the DC universe and Doctor Strange from the Marvel universe, and that didn't give enough time. So, Mark was going to get Doctor Fate because I had faith in his broad comic book knowledge, and that he could probably muster something up at the last second. And then Matt had Doctor Strange because Matt is kind of a Philistine, and he only goes with the mainstream stuff at times. No, I'm joking. So I figure he might be more familiar with Doctor Strange. But anyways, don't know if there's going to be much of a debate going on, since I didn't know through texting, because I can't read tonality if Mark was joking. But it sounded like he was throwing in the towel before he even started, which is fine.
I thought we were just having a contest of who could talk, about how awesome Long was better than the other person.
That would have been a really good eagle stroke.
Yeah.
But I didn't know. So, yeah, the original topic was who was the better third host, me or Frank?
Yeah.
And
that's not biased at all.
Yeah.
No, but I was. It is non-biased because I'm the judge, and you two have to be.
Like, you're not going to pick yourself.
I you'll be surprised by my modesty.
Oh bullshit!
Yeah.
Anyway, Matt, you can go first.
Okay.
Doctor Strange, I guess.
So, first of all, Doctor Strange. He gets his powers from himself, not from a god who magically turned him from a boy into a man like the god Nobu did to Kent, who is Dr. Fate. Strange draws his power from the Vigilante, which protects him from as strong of beings as Dormammu to as small of beings as... your common thieves, I guess. The Vigilante can be used by Dr. Fate to defend and attack against a multitude of beings, including big, multidimensional ones. Godlike ones, in fact. He's got the Eye of Agamotto, which, of course, as we see through the first film, Infinity War, grant him powers where he can multiply himself, multiply his magic, and ultimately be a great offensive being, can pretty much counteract Dr. Fate's amulet, which is really only good enough as long as Dr. Fate has that helmet on, because only then can the God Nobu connect to him and use the power through Kent. He's got the Cloak of Levitation, Strange does, similar to Dr. Fate, so I guess those offset. Because they're both the offensive and defensive buffs for both of them. But Doctor Strange's cloak is funnier. As we see in the first one, he wants to go one way, the cloak goes the other. Cloak kind of has the mind of its own, kind of like Aladdin's magic carpet, And if we go deeper into the comics, Strange even has the Orb of Agamotto, which allows him to see all. Pretty much allows him to preemptively do things that, Dr. Fate may not always be able to do, even as powerful as he is. And of course, as we saw in the last film, he also has the Book of Vigilante, which he commonly uses to defeat bigger threats within the universe, within the whenever they go cosmic in the comic book. So Doctor Strange, he's smart. He's talented within himself, not just through his artifacts, that he can wield magic through these beings that can defeat godlike threats. Yeah.
That's great. Anything else?
That's it.
All right. I wish sometimes you finish like under 2 minutes sometimes, man.
Yeah.
All right, you know, Mark. You have the floor.
We didn't even talk about the introduction of Klee, Doctor Strange's future wife, in the post-credit scene. Yeah.
Yeah, because she's kind of a deep cut.
Yeah, she is kind of a deep cut.
Yeah.
And then I sat there for 2 minutes having to pee so fucking bad to watch Bruce Campbell act stupid. I was like, really? That was a waste of time.
You watch your fucking mouth about Bruce Campbell.
He's a one-trick pony. Sam Raimi goes, pulls me out to movies. What else has he ever fucking done in his career? Nothing. Don't get me wrong. I like
Briscoe County Jr.
I like
underrated Western comedy.
I like Army of Darkness, but his career is all based on one character, and he's a one-trick pony. Anyway,
I first saw him in Briscoe County Jr., The Adventures of Briscoe County.
Yeah, I vaguely remember. I mean, I've heard of it. I just, you know, but anyway, this debate, I mean, Matt wins. I mean, I've seen Dr. Fate in a few books, a few animated films. He has a helmet I know that looks like a dick on his head, and it gets passed on to different people that if one character stop laughing, it does look like a dick on his head. And he's got some magic powers. He does some stuff, and he's usually a bitch for the Justice League. They call him like, hey, we need some help or whatever, and, you know. That's always where I see him appear in things. But Matt picked this topic. I'm like, seriously, I don't know anything about fucking Dr. Fate. Such a C-list character in the DC universe. You know, and of course,
hey,
Dr. Strange.
He's not going to be C-list with Pierce Brosnan playing him in the future upcoming movie.
Dr. Strange to be fair, Dr. Strange was pretty much a C-list character until Marvel put him in movies. Now, he might have been more B-list and A-list back in the 60s and 70s, but in the 80s and 90s, no one gave a fuck about Doctor Strange. Let's just be honest. And then all of a sudden, Marvel puts him in a movie, and he's a thing again. You know, that's just being real.
Iron Man was a B-list.
I agree. No one gave a shit about Iron Man until Jon Favreau made a really good movie. So you're right.
All right, Mark, you made your point. Matt, you win. There's no retort or rebuttal needed. Yeah, so, that's
right. Well, I'll still
Mark, get one. It's kind of apropos that you get to pick the final topic of this godforsaken sub-feature. So make it a good one. Is Frank going to be witness to this?
No.
No?
This is episode next week's episode 299.
Yeah.
So.
I wonder what he thought of if he ever listened to the show or what he thought of the whole debate.
We enacted the first kind of like – duel of the nerds kind of with and I'll never forget it because I gave Mark so much shit about it for like a year or so. I had the Hulk and
do not bring that up.
And it was kind of like the Optimus Prime Godzilla debate. I'm like, he's the fucking Hulk. And you
Frank
know,
reminded me that I forgot we called it Face Off. It was a similar sub feature. I had forgot we did that, and Frank reminded me because y'all done that before. It's not really new. I'm like, we did, and yeah, he kind of reminded me. So
yeah, and so I lost with the Hulk, and I was like, what?
Well, maybe because you over-explained it. That's why.
Topic I come up with for next week, you better bring it for the final one. All right.
I will. Let's agree to bring it.
All right.
Yes. Give enough notice. Give enough notice.
Yeah. Every exit is also an entrance.
Let's do a little bit of news. One thing that was really cool when I went to see when we all saw Doctor Strange. You know, I wasn't sure I felt about another Avatar film, and then I saw that trailer, and I'm like, yeah, I'm down for this, man. Just seeing James Cameron's work on screen again. It's such a beautiful trailer. I mean, it looks incredible. It kind of got me like excited for it. And it teases you just enough. The CGI work in that trailer is extraordinary. I've watched it a few times since it came out. And all of a sudden I'm ready for another Avatar film. Avatar, The Way of the Water will be out this Christmas. Did you guys like the trailer? Because I mean, I thought it was great.
Yeah, yeah. I didn't, you know, I was part of the folks who didn't really think the environmental message was all that overbearing or preachy in the first right. film. It's not that bad at all. I mean, shit. I mean, it's one of the best villains in the freaking movies too. You know, with yeah.
Stephen Lang's character.
Stephen Lang, he's a really good actor, and I really liked his villain. It's like, is that the air is toxic? He didn't care. He just like started shooting people without the mask. You know, he was pretty badass. But no, I'm looking forward to it. I don't know how they're going to bring back Sigourney Weaver and Stephen Lang's character back, but apparently they're in the sequel, so.
Mm-hmm.
And they shot these movies, what, back-to-back, right? In one huge clump.
Yeah. Two and three, and then I think they took a break, and I think they're reconvening next summer to shoot four and five. That was what I read. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So they did two and three back-to-back, but they had to let Zoe leave so she could go. I mean, come on, let's be honest. We know Gamora's going to fucking appear in Guardians 3, even though they act like she's not. So she had to leave and do some stuff, and I guess they're going to come back and shoot 4 and 5. That's what I was reading. Yeah.
Columbiana 2.
And apparently this takes place like almost 10 years after the first Avatar. So 10 years have passed since the fight for the Great Tree. So I'm looking forward to it. Matt, any thoughts on the Avatar trailer?
It looked good. It didn't look like there was a ton of action in the trailer, but it's the first trailer. So
yeah, it's just a teaser.
Yeah. It's just meant to get the tip up, you know?
Yep. I'm looking forward to it. The great Christopher Walken is going to appear in Dune Part 2. I think that's cool.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. He's going to play, some sort of major character.
The Emperor.
It's always good to see Walking on screen, so I think that was cool.
I mean, they alluded to how petty the Emperor was in the first sequel, and I could see Christopher Walken playing the kind of a resentful Emperor.
Mm-hmm. So,
he'll be interesting. Good man. Yeah, he's going to be good.
Ahsoka has officially begun production for Lucasfilm and Disney. I thought it was already shooting, but I guess not. That's officially begun for a possible release later this year, early next year. Now, we've got some things, a couple of sad things to talk about. Great character actor Fred Ward passed away a few days ago. Of course, best known for his character in the Tremors films. And he was also in Henry and June, which was quite a controversial film when it came out. It had to do with sexuality. But he is no longer with us today. And, sometime in June, we'll probably be doing Tremors. We've been talking about doing Tremors for a while. And, it took Fred Ward's death announcement today to get that done. So I guess we'll be doing Tremors soon, but Tremors is a fun movie.
Tisk.
Yeah. And, I liked it.
And secondly, this happened, I think Saturday after we recorded last week, we knew the great George Perez had been sick for a while, fighting pancreatic cancer, and he finally is at peace. And George is known for his run on the new Teen Titans and recreating them, Crisis on Infinite Earths, modernizing Wonder Woman, drew the Avengers for a while, drew the crossover Justice League versus Avengers. This guy has done it all. If there was a Mount Rushmore of artists, you know, you could consider Steve Ditko, Jack Kirby, George Perez. You know, those three or four are going to be up there. And that's just how big this guy is. I had a chance to meet him at Compalooza back in 2013. And it was a brief meeting, but George was just so thankful that people were – this is a guy that truly loved what he did. And he never did it for fame or for money or anything. In fact, he donated a lot of his money to the Hero Initiative because he believed in that charity. And he really was very appreciative of all his fans, and that he just made people smile across the world with his artwork. And he's quite a legend in the comic industry, and he will be missed greatly. And we knew the day was coming, and didn't make it any easier when we found out. But the great George Perez is no longer with us. I'm actually reading the Judas Contract right now, which they did the animated film based on. I picked it up off Amazon because I wanted to read it. And one of his famous stories he did when recreating the new Teen Titans. And it's good stuff. It's really good. You know, but no longer with us. So. But that's it. That's all I got for news. One film to go before 300 is next week. It's episode 299. And this is another blockbuster film, a movie that in 1996 kind of came out of nowhere and made another one of those movies, made a ton of money at the box offices. People were looking for new special effects films. And this is in the era of, you know, coming off of Jurassic Park and Terminator 2 and some of these big special effects films. So the director of Speed decided to take us on a different kind of ride with Storm Chasers and the great Bill Paxton and Helen Hunt in Twister.
There is a mystery. Elusive. Unpredictable. Violent. It terrifies most scientists. But for a new breed, the challenge is saving lives. The research is deadly. And the laboratory is nature itself.
And potentially, could be a storm that has a winds in excess of 200 miles an hour. Let's assume the worst at this point.
My thoughts on Twister are is like, I don't want to go see this. I remember that. Like, it can't possibly be an entertaining movie about storms. I remember going with my parents to see it and then walking out of the theater, actually pretty much enjoying it. Like, it was a fun movie. But I remember back being in high school, you know, 19-year-old. I'm like, that looks stupid, you know? But it's a fun film.
Yeah, it's done well. I remember watching it a few times whenever it came out on VHS. My parents bought it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The great Philip Seymour Hoffman's in this, very young. Welcome to the suck zone. I remember that line from the movie. So it'll be interesting to watch this week. It's on HBO Max. For those that don't know, if they want to stream it and watch it. So it'll be interesting to see how this one holds up. It's been a while since I've seen it. 20 years later, almost 30 years later, now that I think about it.
Yeah, this film started the whole natural disasters craze, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Twisters.
Yeah.
Dante's Peak, Volcano. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I remember 2012, that. Years later.
The Perfect Storm.
Yeah, Perfect Storm.
I actually liked 2012. That was one disaster movie that I was watching that, and I watched it at home. I think I watched it with Mary. We were still married at the time. And I remember that was one disaster movie that, for some reason, it grasped me the whole time. I just found that one. That one was really entertaining.
That was weird.
I mean, yeah. It had great special effects. Everything in the whole fucking movie is blowing up constantly. And I'm sitting there going, if this is how the world ends, this is pretty fucking spectacular, you know? It's like, I remember thinking that when I watched 2012. And, you know, Roland Emmerich has done a lot of those movies. And, like, I didn't like The Day After Tomorrow. That was stupid. But 2012 was pretty entertaining. So, mm-hmm. But Twister on next week's show.
That's I thought it for Fred the day. Ward was great in Naked Gun 33 1/3, by the way.
Oh, he was in that?
No. Yep. Yeah.
Yeah.
He played Rocco.
Rocco.
Yeah. I always liked Fred Ward. Yeah, he would always pop up and stuff. You're like, oh, there's Fred Ward. Then Long texted us thinking Robin died. I was like, wait, Burt Ward died today too? Damn. It almost made my heart jump on. But But the RebelRadioPodcast.com, that's where you can find our show and our social media links. And we're on all iTunes, iHeartRadio, Spotify, all that stuff. You can find our show. And we thank you, as always, for listening as we a couple weeks away from 300. We're excited about that. And as always, this has been Mark.
This has been Matt.
And this is Long.
Until next time, remember, as always, just go there and do it.